Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with abundance.church. That's the new website where you can register your email address to be emailed when we post new reference material or other videos. We got a new music video coming out soon called God is With Us. You'll really love that one. It's a very inspired faith-based rap song. And we'll bring you other announcements as appropriate. Just go to abundance.church. You can type that into the top address bar of any browser, abundance.church. You know, instead of .com, it's .church. So today we're talking about the mulberry, and specifically black mulberry, although there are white mulberries. But the mulberry tree, the mulberry fruit, are mentioned in the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments. But what's interesting about where it's mentioned, it's not really mentioned as a health topic or something that's very nutritious, has nothing to do with anointing. It's usually God saying, like, you know, watch for the army coming around the side of the mulberry trees and things like that. It's kind of an indicator. Yeah, the mulberry tree's out there. But in Luke chapter 17, there is a very interesting line that talks about the mulberry trees and compares it to the parable of the mustard seed, which is also mentioned in Luke, but there's a more descriptive version in Mark, of course, chapter 4. But if you go to Luke chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." And we're not going to dwell on this because this isn't really talking about the properties of mulberries, but it's just saying if you have faith, then you can do the impossible. You could just pull up this tree and plant it in the sea, and it would obey, and it would be fine. So that's just a message about faith. But let's talk about actual mulberry trees here, because this is where things get interesting. Now, you know that what I teach here as the nutritional version of Scripture, talking about foods and superfoods, what I teach is based on the idea that the mind of God is expressed through Mother Nature, and then through the laws of chemistry and physics and photosynthesis, all of which were created by God, of course, that plants are able to synthesize nutrients and natural medicine. Created by God or engineered by God, plants synthesize these nutrients by combining the elements, typically simple things, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen, H, C, and O. And from nothing but H, C, and O, they make nutrients such as antioxidants or carotenoids or, you know, ascorbic acid, natural vitamin C, and anthocyanins, which we'll talk about today because anthocyanins are found in mulberries, especially the darker ones. But understand that HCO, well, H is hydrogen. Where does the hydrogen come from? It comes from water, H2O. So, of course, the tree, the plant, needs water from its roots. Where does the carbon come from? The carbon comes from the air, and it comes from carbon dioxide. And this is why plants need CO2, which is God's miraculous molecule in the air. And isn't it interesting that the satanic forces of our world today that are trying to achieve human depopulation and mass censorship, and they want to shut down progress, shut down food and farms, they say carbon dioxide is evil. But of course, they are Satanists, because carbon dioxide is necessary for all plants to produce leaves and stems and roots and food crops and mulberries, of course. So CO2 is a molecule that's part of God's plan for our planet. And those who are pushing a climate cultism agenda are pushing a satanic anti-life agenda. And that's why it's no surprise that most of those people support abortion and transgender mutilations of children and other similar things, because they are, in essence, Satanists. They are anti-life. And carbon dioxide brings plants to life. Now, getting to the black mulberry tree, there's almost no plant that produces fruit more quickly, at least not in a tree format, than the mulberry tree. Of course, you could produce strawberries, relatively quickly by growing strawberry plants. But, you know, they're not very rugged and they don't continue to grow taller and taller with each year. The mulberry tree is a very fast-growing tree and all kinds of different species of it. And it produces mulberry fruit sometimes in the very first year, but usually in the second year and beyond. Whereas a lot of citrus trees, for example, might take, you know, many years, 5, 7, 9, depends on the tree, depends on the climate and so on. But mulberries produce fruit quickly. So it's one of the quickest ways to see the miracle of God working through Mother Nature. When you pluck a juicy, dark, black fruit, you know, a mulberry fruit off a mulberry tree, I want you to think that, where did this come from? How did this fruit get here? Well, it got there by a miracle of God working through the laws of nature and photosynthesis and chemistry and all the things that God created. But isn't it amazing that wealth really does grow on trees? They say money doesn't grow on trees, but mulberries grow on trees, and mulberries are wealth because they contain not only food, but medicine. And one of the most notable types of medicine that mulberries contain is in the category of anthocyanins, which have incredible protective properties in the human body. And the anthocyanins are responsible for the dark pigment molecules that infuse the mulberry itself. So you're literally growing medicine with the mulberry tree. And there's almost no tree that grows medicine more quickly. And this medicine is a form of wealth. Thus, money actually does grow on trees if you understand that good nutrition is money or is wealth. So you know how we talked about shadow money versus God's money in a previous sermon? And mankind will synthesize fake currency by printing money, creating counterfeit currency or counterfeit money, which doesn't last. All the counterfeit currencies eventually go to zero. They all fail. And it's because it's not God's money. Now, we can say, well, God's money is gold and silver, and that's true. But God's wealth extends way beyond gold and silver, and it extends into mulberries and other forms of natural medicine that grow on trees. You can probably grow them yourself. All right, going to the book Herbs of the Bible by Dr. James A. Duke. The black mulberry tree is a native of Persia. See, it's fitting that it's in the Bible. And was cultivated in some Grecian islands and in Egypt and Israel, where it was known by the name sycamore. So if you hear people from the Middle East talking about a sycamore tree, they may actually be talking about the mulberry tree. The fruit was eaten fresh or dried, and its sweet juice was used to make wine. The fruit, resembling large blackberries, was preserved in brandy for desserts. The Greeks and Romans sometimes made mulberry wine or added the reddish-purple juice to color wine made from grapes. The root and bark were used as a laxative, and the bark provided tannin. So, once again, different parts of the plant provide different types of medicine. Again, all because of the mind of God. God doesn't waste anything. Every part of the plant is a different type of medicine. All right, continuing in the book, there are two mulberry species, black and white. The black mulberry tree is noted for its delicious fruit. It was likely imported into ancient Israel from Iran. So, by the way, do you think the Israelis should thank the Iranians, the Persians, for the mulberry trees? Given the politics of today, that may not happen, but perhaps they should. Thank you, Iran, for the mulberry trees. The white mulberry came from China or India and was widely grown in Palestine and Syria as food for silkworms. Now, by the way, white mulberries, they are just as delicious as black mulberries, but of course they lack the anthocyanins. So if you're going to grow mulberries for their nutritional potency, you would want the darkest, blackest mulberry that you could find because that would contain the most anthocyanin content. The fruits can be sun-dried and stored as a nutritious winter food. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, actually. Black mulberry fruit should be picked very ripe, at its peak for sweetness and flavor. They're juicy and easily stain skin and clothes. The black mulberry trees are often planted as ornamentals. The branches cascade to the ground, forming an umbrella of foliage. Wild birds, poultry, and hogs are fond of the fruits. Some farmers fatten their sheep with the berries, believing that they make the meat more digestible. Now, I grow mulberry trees, and one of the reasons I grow them is to feed my chickens. And this is on purpose. I want the chickens to be able to get the black juicy fruit as it falls to the ground. I also grow fig trees for my chickens. And some of the more entrepreneurial hens, by the way, they will leap into the lower branches of the fig trees when they spot a red juicy fig. And we've covered figs in a previous sermon. And figs are amazing medicine. And I would say figs also produce fruit very easily, kind of like mulberries. And figs are easy to clone, kind of hard to kill. They're very hardy types of trees. Well, chickens like to fly into the lower branches, and they just feast on those figs. And I let them do it. Like, oh, you found a fig. Go for it. Have a fig, because then I get healthier eggs from the hens. So in terms of folklore, in Palestine, they made a refreshing sherbet from sweet black mulberry juice and water infused with sweet-scented violet. Okay, that's interesting. Iranians use the bark of the mulberry root to treat painful menstruation. Medically, mulberry fruits are nutritious, they're fever-reducing, and they are laxative. They're used to check thirst and to cool the blood. Black mulberry fruit juice is boiled in honey for an ointment to treat throat tumors. A plaster made from the sap of black mulberry trees is used to remedy the hardening of soft tissue of the viscera. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but blackberries and the juice that they contain, which of course is rich in anthocyanins, they fight gum disease. And if you were to drink blackberry juice or eat blackberries and kind of swish it around your mouth and swish it around your gums, you're actually preventing oral cancer and preventing gum disease from the blackberries. I believe, although I haven't seen any studies on this, but I believe the same effect would be found from mulberries because of the anthocyanins. So mulberries can be used as a way to enhance gum health or even to prevent health issues. And where we live in a world where so many people, especially children, are living on high fructose corn syrup and they're drinking liquid sugars and they're eating processed foods, all kinds of horrible things, eating fresh fruit and actually chewing it, you know, like having it swish around your mouth, it coats your gums with healing nutrients that are, of course, one of the gifts from God. So enjoy the stains of the fruit in your mouth and even on your teeth. Yes, they can stain your teeth or your dental work. Like, hey, purple mouth, how's it going today? What you been doing? I've been chewing on mulberries all day. Yeah, I can tell. So Cambodians use mulberry leaves to treat conjunctivitis. Very interesting. So now if we switch over to Plants of the Bible by Michael Zohari, the genus Morus consists of 10 species, which range from China to North America. In the Mediterranean countries, the two species that have been cultivated for centuries are the white mulberry and the black mulberry. The white was introduced from China and grown mainly for its leaves, which nourish the silkworm to assure silk production. Isn't that interesting? They're growing it for the leaves, not the berries, for silk. Although silk is mentioned several times in the Bible, neither biblical nor post-biblical literature refers to its production. Despite the cultivation until recently of the white mulberry in Lebanon, Syria, and sporadically also in Israel. So if you're looking to get into the business of creating silk, which sounds like a lot of effort, you got to collect the silk from all the worms, you're going to have to grow mulberry trees to feed the silkworms. Okay, I think my chickens would eat the silkworms before they could create any silk. The black mulberry, possibly a derivative of the white, grows wild in northern Persia, on the shores of the Caspian Sea, and in ancient Colchis, where it was introduced long ago into the lands of the Bible. Such early introduction from Persia and its neighbors was true of the apple, the pomegranate, the fig, and the pistachio, all things that we will cover in our sermons, of course. The black mulberry is medium size. It flowers in the spring, either before or together with the unfolding of the mostly lobed and dentate leaves. This is a very technical analysis. Let's see. Berry-like fruits made of fleshy drupes. They have a sweet, sour taste, but because of their low nutritional value, the tree is not often grown. Well, I would argue with that low nutritional value comment right there. Now, yeah, it's not high in protein or essential fatty acids, you know, oils, but it's got all the following nutrients. This is amazing. It's got a lot of vitamin C. It's got vitamin B2. It's got vitamin B6. Plus, it naturally picks up elements like iron, copper, potassium, phosphorus, and calcium. But most importantly, it contains antioxidants, quite a range of antioxidants, including flavonoids, and I already mentioned anthocyanins. Overall, when they're dried, they're about 12% protein, 3% fat, 14% fiber, and 70% carbs. Now, that actually makes these berries higher in protein than most other types of berries, so they're not really low in protein. Now, if you do a little bit of research on black mulberries, if you go to the National Library of Medicine, there is a peer-reviewed medical journal or science journal called the Saudi Journal of Biological Sciences, and there's a study there published in 2021 that's really interesting. Nutritional constituents of mulberry and their potential applications in food and pharmaceuticals. And, of course, the people involved in this study, they appear to have names of Persian people like Muhammad Umar Khan and Rabia Parveen and Sultan Zahiruddin and so on. Saeed Ahmad and so on. Now, the reason I mention this is because I want us all to understand that sometimes it takes a culture outside the United States to conduct a lot of proper science about the healing properties of foods, because the U.S. system is so controlled by Big Pharma, which is a satanic system, as we've talked about previously, that you often don't get good research from U.S. researchers about nutrition and healing foods and healing plants, botanicals, herbs, essential oils, and so on. So I would much rather trust scientific research out of China. They do a lot of great research. Iran does a tremendous amount of research. Palestine does great research. In some cases, Israel itself also does a lot of good research on foods. But my point is, there are many other countries that really do a better job of studying God's medicine than does the United States, because the U.S. has been afflicted by or infested with the demonic possession of Big Pharma that is anti-natural medicine, anti-nutrition, anti-God, anti-life. So very often the best research comes from somewhere other than the United States. Now, in this study, again, nutritional constituents of mulberry and the potential applications in food and pharmaceuticals, it says that mulberries or its extracts exhibit excellent antimicrobial, anti-hyperglycemic, anti-hyperlipidemic, anti-inflammatory, and anti-cancer effects. It is used to combat different acute and chronic diseases. Different parts of the Morus species, that's the species of the mulberries, like fruits, leaves, twigs, and bark, exhibit strong anti-tyrosinase inhibition activity that makes it a suitable candidate in cosmetic industries as a whitening agent. That's probably why white mulberry leaves are used to feed silkworms that create really white silk. I'm just guessing. The current review provides a comprehensive discussion concerning the phytochemical constituents, the functionality and nutraceutical potential of mulberry as a common ingredient. So this is really amazing. In the study, it even talks about how Chinese citizens use the mulberry fruit as a natural medicine to strengthen the joints, lower blood pressure, treat fever, protect against liver damage, and also assist in the discharge of urine. And in Turkish folk medicine, it's been used as an anti-fever, an expectorant, to lower blood pressure, and also as a folk remedy to treat dental diseases. See, I knew it. That's what I was just talking about. To treat dysentery as a deworming agent, a laxative, to treat diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, and anemia. And in Azerbaijan, the fruit is used to treat gallbladder, liver disease, and heart disease. And it goes on and on like this. So because this has been around for so long and these fruits have been shared across, you know, so many cultures, there are many, many medicinal and folk uses. And if you read further in the study, it says that mulberries also contain some important alkaloids that activate macrophages by stimulating the immune system and hence safeguard the human body against health threats. And there's a citation for that claim. And then it talks about the list of the important alkaloids that it contains, which are too complicated to pronounce, by the way. But it also contains oleic acid, palmitic acid, and linolenic acid as the major fatty acids that are in it. It talks about calcium, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, and a little bit of sodium as well. Now, as I mentioned, anthocyanins. Here it is. Mulberry fruit is a concentrated source of anthocyanins, mainly cyanidin-3-glucoside, or C3G, and cyanidin-3-rutinoside, C3R, that can be utilized also as a natural colorant in food industries. And then recently, the effects of polyphenols in mulberry juice on the oxidation stability and functional properties of myofibrillary and sarcoplasmic proteins in dried minced pork slices during storage was studied. So in other words, this can be used as a natural food preservative as well. Isn't that wild? Now, you may not know this, but mulberries can also be used to treat skin disorders resulting from hyperpigmentation. So red skin, hyperpigmented skin, or blotches, age skin. So from the study, it says mulberries can help to mitigate skin problems such as reduction in spots and blemishes appearing with age, and inhibition of free radical-linked oxidative activity, thereby bestowing a healthier and shiny appearance to skin and hair. It's clear that different parts of, mulberries, exhibit excellent tyrosinase inhibition activity, and hence can be included as a necessary component of cosmetic products and depigmentation agents for the treatment of hyperpigmented disorders. So there you go. I wonder how it would work on maybe rosacea or age spots or anything like that. It might work just taking the mulberries and rubbing it on your skin, you know, for 30 days and then seeing how it goes. That would be interesting, you know, to study. Anyway, this same study goes on and talks about the antimicrobial properties, and there are many other properties. So once again, this is an amazing, seemingly miraculous medicine that comes from the mind of God, expressed through Mother Nature, grows on trees for free. You can probably grow it yourself if you're in the right climate, or you could grow it perhaps seasonally if you're in the wrong climate, or maybe in a greenhouse or something, but you can grow mulberries in many areas. You are growing wealth. You are growing natural medicine. You are growing nutrition. You're actually growing protein and lots of anthocyanins and vitamin C. You can grow your own supplements. You know, I mean, I've talked about non-GMO vitamin C before because most of the vitamin C supplements that are sold in the marketplace today come from GMO corn from China. And so, you know, that's why it's cheap ascorbic acid. Well, what if you could grow your own vitamin C? Because remember what I mentioned earlier, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen, HCO. Did you know that vitamin C is made of nothing but H, C, and O? It's true. There's nothing else in vitamin C other than hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. That's it. In the proper format, it creates ascorbic acid or vitamin C. Well, you don't actually need to buy that. You can grow it. You can let Mother Nature synthesize it for you for free, thanks to God. That's what we're talking about. And then when you eat the mulberries, you are taking those nutrients in and making them part of your body. Literally, those molecules become part of your molecules. And that is a way to commune with God. I mean, your body is a gift from God. Your consciousness is a gift from God. And so are all these amazing healing foods and natural medicines that grow on trees for free. And so, of course, it makes sense to consume those things that are naturally compatible with your body and to bring in that natural medicine and benefit from all the nutrients, the vitamin C, the anthocyanins, the carotenoids, the minerals, everything else that's in it. It's all natural medicine intended for you. It was put here for you, for free. And humanity has become so foolish to turn away from God's medicine and then line up at the pharmacies. Oh, let's wait in line for mankind's synthetic medicine, which is crazy expensive, and often the supply chain is broken down, and you have to have a doctor's permission. You can't have mankind's medicine unless a doctor says it's okay. You can go pick mulberries and figs and eat God's medicine for free, and you don't have to ask for permission from anybody. You might want to give thanks to God, though, by the way. Eat all of God's foods. Just bless God. That's what Paul the Apostle said. I think he was talking to the Corinthians about that. Just eat all of God's foods. Just give blessing for it. But recognize what is real food and real medicine and real wealth. It's these types of things. It's the mulberries. It's the figs. It's the grapes. It's the frankincense. It's the myrrh. It's all these things we're talking about. It's the wormwood. These are real medicines. God's medicine. And so I encourage you, to the extent that you can, get out of the world of shadow food, which is fake food, counterfeit food, and shadow medicine, shadow people, shadow money. Get into the world of real food, real medicine. This is God's medicine. This is rich. This is nourishing. This is royalty-free, patent-free, you know? It's intended to be free. It's intended to nourish you. Take advantage of that, and you will grow closer to God. Because remember what we're teaching here. The more of these natural foods that you take in, the more pure your blood becomes. You clean your blood in doing this. And as you purify your blood, you are atoning for your spirit at the same time. That's in Leviticus chapter 17, I believe, is what that is. So clean your blood, you atone for your spirit, brings you closer to God. Plus, as we teach in Ephesians 6, you are putting on the molecular armor of God because of all the neuroprotective properties, all the cardioprotective properties, the free radical protecting properties in the vitamin C and so on. And you are leaving the shadow world and you are entering the world of God through God's food and God's molecules. And you don't have to pay anybody a dime to do it. All you have to do, grow some mulberries. And then eat them before your chickens get them all. I have to remind myself of the same goal. So that's today's sermon. I hope you enjoyed it. I get so inspired by this because every subject just reveals all these amazing miracles and gifts from God. We are surrounded by medicine. We are surrounded by God's gifts. We have such abundance all around us, but most people have been deceived by Satan to be blind to the world of God's medicine. And they think the only medicine that exists is shadow medicine. And they're blind. They're just blind. They're walking right past all the cures, all the treatments, all the nutrients, all the foods, all the medicine. They're walking right past it. They cannot see. They are blind to God's gifts. And then they wonder, you know, why they're doing so poorly. Well, went in for chemotherapy. You got a bunch of poison. And of course you're going to feel sick. Of course your hair is going to fall out because that's Satan's medicine. Those are poisons. You want God's medicine, you're going to feel great. Anti-cancer properties are in the food. They're in the berries. They're in some of the oils. They're in the superfoods. You don't have to feel horrible to be healthy. Anyway, we're going to have so many examples of this. You'll just, by the time you finish the 100 sermons here, you will just be mesmerized by how much abundance is in the world around you. All the natural, miraculous, God-given cures and treatments and nutrients and superfoods and everything. You won't believe that you didn't see it before. And that's the point here, is to help share and teach and inspire all of you to grow as much of your own food as you can. If you can't grow it, get it from somebody who does grow it. If you can't get it from somebody who grows it, you know, get it from a trusted source, keep it clean, keep it organic, you know. But take advantage of this. We have now more access to more foods and nutrients than at any time in human history. You know, 2,000 years ago, you couldn't get all these oils. You know, how much would you pay for spikenard oil? You know, a day's wage for a drop or whatever. Now you can get spikenard online. You know, you can buy myrrh. You can get fig trees for, you know, $10 at the nursery and plant them, or mulberry trees or whatever. You can grow wormwood herb. You can do all this. You can grow pomegranate trees. You can grow God's medicine, and you don't have to spend a fortune to do it. So take advantage of all of this, and thank you for listening today. I'm Mike Adams with abundance.church. If you enjoy this sermon, check out the other ones, because there's, 44 other sermons before this one, or 45 before this one, or something like that. And we have a lot more coming, you know, 50 plus more coming. So check it all out at abundance.church and join the email list there. And we'll alert you when we have all kinds of new, interesting, and educational resources for you to enjoy. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams, and take care.